The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week we heard Jesus say, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. With these words, Jesus was applying an image God used in the Old Testament to portray his loving care and concern for his people, applying and intensifying it. Jesus himself is the Lord, who watches over and cares for his people, who seeks after and restores them when they've wandered, who lays down his life and takes it up again for them, for you. In Jesus' words in today's gospel, I am the true vine, he is again claiming the central position in an important image the Lord used in the Old Testament to portray his relationship with Israel. What the 23rd Psalm is to the shepherd image, a portion of Isaiah chapter 5 is to the vineyard image. In that chapter, the prophet writes, Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning my vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes. But it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. These words recorded by Isaiah underlie Jesus' parables concerning vineyards. Gospels record four of these, and also set the stage for Jesus as he speaks to his disciples in our text. The Lord had condemned Israel as an unproductive vineyard. It hadn't furnished God the fruits that he had planted it to produce. And so he condemned it to destruction. In our text, just as in Isaiah's song of the vineyard, God is the one who looks after the vineyard. Now, however, Jesus says, I am the true vine. The pleasant planting of the Lord of old hadn't produced good fruit. So now a new vine has been planted and grafted into this rootstock. God's people produce much fruit. In Jesus, God's people are turned from fruitless vines, deserving of God's wrath, into branches that bear good and abundant fruit. With his teaching here, Jesus reveals important facts about his people. The first of them is that you and I lack any ability or power in ourselves to bear good fruit. Unless you are connected to him, Jesus says, you will not bear fruit. Cut off from him, you will wither and die. Cut off from him, you will be thrown into the fire. Your fruitfulness depends entirely on your being connected to Jesus. No branch can bear fruit by itself, he says. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He couldn't have said it any more clearly. Apart from Christ, you are fruitless. Your destiny is to be thrown into the fire. But what exactly does Jesus mean by fruit? We might perhaps think of good works. But certainly there are people who have no connection to Jesus, who don't trust him as either God or Savior, who do such things as love their spouses and care for their children and help their aging parents and serve as honest and faithful workers, aren't there? These are good things to do. But they can't be what Jesus wants us to understand as fruit here if they can be done by people who have not been joined to him. So then what does fruit in Jesus' teaching here signify? In the verses following our text, Jesus teaches his disciples to love one another, explaining that the Father loved him and he has loved them, and now they are to love one another. The fruit that results from being connected to the rootstock of Christ must then involve love. Love motivated by and mirroring our Lord's unfathomable self-sacrificing love for sinners. And this fits with Jesus saying that you bring glory to the Father when your connection to Jesus produces much fruit. Those who produce the fruit of selflessness and self-sacrificing love in their thinking and speaking and doing show themselves to be his disciples. After our text, Jesus goes on to say, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Love one another." Love is the preeminent fruit St. Paul lists in his list of fruits of the Spirit. So then by yourself you are a fruitless branch, destined to wither and die and be thrown into the fire. But in connection with Christ, under the influence of his powerful love, you are enabled to produce the fruit of love for others in abundance. But how do you remain connected to that rootstock of Christ? And how does the Father prune you to make you even more productive? Jesus doesn't explain here how people are first joined to him, but the reading that we heard from Acts today reminds us of what the scriptures teach. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing when Philip had baptized him. St. Paul writes that everyone who is baptized has been clothed with Christ. That's how closely baptism connects you with him. He becomes a new skin on you. Through baptism, your life is hidden with Christ in God. In a different image, St. Paul writes, through baptism, we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, so that we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his as well. So you were first united with Christ in holy baptism. That's where you first became a branch of the true vine. But there is only one baptism. So how does one abide in the vine? That happens through God's word. When Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, he ties your remaining in him to his words continuing to be in you. Christ's word is his bond to you. As you hear his words, you are strengthened to abide in him. As his word is proclaimed, he is binding you to himself. The first reading this morning is instructive in this regard. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading God's word, but remained confused and uncertain. He needed to have that word proclaimed to him, needed to hear another tell him the good news about Jesus, needed someone to open his mind to see Jesus in the scriptures, his life, death, and resurrection for sinners. The eunuch didn't believe until he heard Philip's proclamation of the Christ. So then, while reading God's word on your own is good, it's no substitute for having Christ proclaimed to you. Gathering Christians into congregations to hear preaching and receive Holy Communion is how God nourishes and sustains branches whom he has engrafted into Christ through baptism. Anyone who becomes careless about receiving God's word, however, is inattentive to it, weakens his connection to Jesus, and it can be severed. As remaining in Christ depends on his word remaining in you, so also the pruning which can make you more fruitful involves his word. Jesus says that his Father prunes every branch that does bear fruit, that it may bear more fruit. He then tells his disciples, already you are clean, or pruned, it's the same word in Greek, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The word is the means by which God leads you to see yourself, your desires and motives and actions as they truly are. His word lets you recognize the rationalization and hypocrisy that otherwise would go on diverting your attention and hinder you from producing the fruit of love. The word both infuses you with God's love in Christ and reforms your attitude and desires. The word is how Christ draws you to remain close to him and hinders you from branching out in ways that would hamper your fruitfulness. According to God's design, love flows from the Father through the Son by the Spirit to the branches who are alive in Christ. It flows from the wounded side of Jesus, the water and the blood, from the font and from the supper, from the words that flow into your ears. That love of God for sinners in Christ flows to you. And it doesn't stop with you. The love of God in Christ also flows through you to produce fruit, the love of your neighbor. God bless you, therefore, to be faithful in receiving and clinging to preaching and his word, and thus make you a fruitful branch to his glory and to your eternal joy. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.